IronOverload.io presents Iron Overload No Bullshit Podcast with your co-hosts, Steve from the American Underground and Mobster from the UK Iron Den. Get ready for the UG info like you've never heard before. No bullshit, no lies, straight hardcore truth. A bodybuilding podcast like you never heard before. And here we go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5.
IronOverload.io Hardcore Episode 72, 2024, Nandrolone Phenylpropionate NPP Revisited. And in this one, we're going to talk about a very, very interesting steroid. And it's the short-acting version of Nandrolone. Most popularly, you see people talk about Decadurabolin. That is the long ester version of Nandrolone with a 15, 16-day half-life. Well, this one is the it's like Deca, but a short-acting ester of Deca called phenylpropionate. And phenylpropionate has a much shorter half-life, about 4 days, 4.5 days, 5 days, just depending on what you take a look at. So it adds flexibility in a lot of situations. So let me kind of like touch on a little bit about the way esters work. And I was talking about, you take the ester half-life, you multiply it by between 4 and 5. So let's say something has a 10-day half-life. It's going to be going to take about 40 to 50 days to start peaking your system. And it's also going to take about 40, 50 days to really be out of your system when you stop taking it, assuming you were injecting it on a proper schedule. Now, in this case, phenylpropionate, let's say, you know, let's kind of give the example of a 4-day half-life or maybe a 5-day half-life. So you're looking at 20 days in your, it takes about 20 days to peak in your system. Deca, the decanate ester, which is a long, the decadurabolin, the long-acting nandrolone option, let's say 15 days, mobster. You take 15, you multiply it by 5, you're up to 75. Divide that by 7, you're talking 10 weeks. 10 weeks to start peaking. So, and if you do the by 4, you're looking at about 8 weeks, 7, 8 weeks. So somewhere between 7, 8, 9 weeks to start peaking your system. And then to get out of your system, also 7, 8 weeks. So what would be the advantage of running NPP, nandrolone phenylpropionate, is that it would be in your system quicker. 3 weeks, it's peaking in your system instead of 7, 8, 9 weeks. And when you stop taking it, it's out of your system quicker, which is advantageous for those of you who want to recover quickly. So if you're someone who really likes DECA or likes the idea of using DECA, and you want to keep your cycle shorter, 8 weeks, 9 weeks, 10 weeks or less, and you want to recover a lot quicker, it makes a lot of sense to go with the NPP option. Mobster, what do you think?
Well, two things, Steve. One would be the potential advantage of being able to do multiple cycles per year in this example. And the other one would be, I think the flexibility you discussed would make it a great option for those that are competing. And I've discussed previously why. You want, especially towards the end of a competition cycle, as you peak for the day of being on stage as a bodybuilder, the ability for any medication, PEDs, etc., that you're using, to be in and out of your system quickly so that you can adapt to any issues that you might have, dieting and condition, et cetera, et cetera. You might have a specific response in terms of water retention, and something that's out of your system quicker that makes the water retention go away is going to sound great, especially if you're a prep coach and you're bringing an athlete in for the day of the competition. I've discussed on other shows just how flexible sometimes they need the athletes to be, where the last Olympia had the open class athletes going on stage at 11 o'clock at night. And these guys have been up since the crack of dawn. They're hungry, they're tired, they're medicated up to the eyeballs. And typically the show is in the early part of the evening. And they were saying that some of the condition of the athletes had changed because it was on stage at 11 instead of being on stage at 7. That's just how fucked up that can be and just how much of a difference that can make. So I can see definitely something in terms of the casual user having the advantage of being able to do 2 or 3 cycles a year versus 2 because of the length of time in the system and the length of time for DECA to leave the system if you wait until you're fully cleared out and want a proper PCT and time off. And at the same time, as I say, a competitive athlete needing that particular edge and flexibility towards the end of a competition cycle, which can quite often be a very long period of time. 16 weeks is not uncommon, 20 weeks occasionally in both competition prep and competition cycles. And the last part of that cycle would need short esters and stuff that's in and out of your system real quick. So yeah, definitely something I can see there. And we do see people, and the reason why we do this podcast as well in terms of popularity, Decker is incredibly popular. It's one of my favorites, but we do see people asking about the NPP option. That's another reason why we do these shows, to keep those people happy and to and keep everybody informed about the different options that are available to you.
Yeah, so let's get into a little bit talking about nandrolone. And look, obviously, you know, nandrolone phenylpropionate hit the shelves in the 50s, 1950s, brought to market by Organon under the name Durabol. And Organon was a big, big supplier. I can remember one of the first times I used Deca. I believe it was Organon that I was using. And they release it under the name Decadurabolin. So, nandrolone phenylpropionate, as I said, small ester base, anabolic steroid, and it's never been popular as Deca. The whole reason for people using Deca in the first place, especially the older guys your age, the doomer generation, as I call you guys, mobster. Is the idea of you don't have to inject this very often. It's a smooth injection. It doesn't aromatize. It doesn't cause like crazy, crazy bad side effects, but it gives me a lot of appetite, helps me get stronger, helps me build muscle. They really, really liked it. So the idea of using something that requires more injections doesn't seem plausible to many people in your generation, mobster. If you talk to them, they never heard of NPP. They're like, oh, I'm going to stick with Deca. But I'm telling you, think about it. As mobster said, the flexibility, and as I said, the flexibility of using a shorter acting could definitely pay off for you, especially when it comes to recovery. So when it comes to nandrolone, it is a 19 nor testosterone, 19 nor anabolic androgenic steroid. 19 nor classification, this is how it's structurally different, is the change of testosterone hormone in that the carbon atom has been removed at the 19th position. So it is a testosterone derivative. People got to keep that in mind. It's not a DHT derivative. So there is going to be some, very, very close classification to testosterone. In fact, when you're running NPP or Deca, each nandrolone, you get your blood work done, it will actually show up as testosterone in a lot of blood works for that reason. So it is basically, you take in the testosterone molecule, you're changing it up a little bit. It's a chemist in the lab, changing it up a little bit, and you're creating something that is way less estrogenic and less androgenic in the system. So it's going to give you less side effects, androgenic side effects, in terms of your blood pressure, your cholesterol, your heart rate going up, the acne issues. It's also structurally in the system going to be less of an effect of a metabolization of DHT in the system. So you're going to have less of effects on your head hair. So those are advantages of nandrolone. But being less androgenic, mobster, to a lot of you is not going to be advantageous. A lot of you react really well to androgens when it comes to your libido. A lot of you react very well to androgens when it comes to your aggression, to your strength, and stuff like that. So all things being equal, running 500 milligrams of testosterone versus 500 milligrams of Deca is going to be less androgenic and obviously less estrogenic. So when you get a boost of estrogens and energy in your system, it tends to really cause a rise in libido, and it really causes a rise of aggression and a lot of good stuff that comes with what we want to do in the gym. So I would say it's a more watered down version of testosterone, but it's something that's still going to give you a lot of the advantages of testosterone, such as appetite increases. And it's going to be a more clean effect, because remember, you're taking away those androgenic issues in your body. So now your body is going to be more quote unquote clean, and your body is going to, because when you're on testosterone, and you guys have run testosterone, know this, your heart rate goes up, your blood thickens up, your red blood cell count really shoots up, your, you know, your blood pressure, your cholesterol goes really off. A lot of things happen that to make your body more toxic and more sick. So with DECA, you're going to get those appetite increases, and it's going to be a more clean effect because you're not getting the negative effect. When you have your heart rate, like when you just do a workout, you just went for a sprint, high intensity training, whatever, and your heart rate's elevated, do you have an appetite? No, you don't. You feel nauseous. You feel like if I even look at food, I'm going to throw up. You know what I'm talking about? Well, that's the effect that you have on your body when you run very harsh androgenic steroids like Tren. For example, you get nauseous on Tren. Well, with DECA, you're not going to get nauseous on DECA. You're going to feel more clean in your body. So obviously, it's going to cause your appetites to go up. Your body doesn't want food when it's sick. When you take your dog or your cat to the vet, the vet, the first question they're going to ask you, Mobster, is how's your pet's appetite? Because if your pet's appetite is low, it means that your pet is likely sick. There's something inside your pet that's making it toxic. It might have some type of worms. It might have some type of infection. It might have some type of sickness. And your pet's appetite's going to go down. So it's the same thing when you're using anabolic steroids. So that, to me, is the biggest advantage of using nandrolone and using NPP, is that you can have nice, mild, smooth cycle without your appetite going crazy. And that's really, really good. So MPP does a lot of good thing in the body. It does a lot of things. Increases your nitrogen reception, increases protein synthesis, causes your SHBG to go down, boosts collagen synthesis and bone mineral content. A lot of good things that all anabolic steroids do, but it does it in a more mild manner where you can really, that's why a lot of the old timers, Mobster, your age, a lot of the boomers love DECA over the years because they could use it. It was a smooth injection. They didn't have post-injection pain. They didn't have too many side effects. They were able to basically just enjoy their cycle and not deal with, oh my God, I'm getting gynecomastia because I ran testosterone. Or, oh my God, I'm getting crazy blood pressure and I can't sleep and I have sweats on this fucking trend. Why am I doing this to myself? Why am I torturing myself? Well, with DECA,
it feel good.
That was the idea of why they created nandrolone in the first place, to be a basically watered down version of testosterone. From a medical perspective, they wanted to help people who were anemic. They wanted to help people with muscle wasting disease with something more mild. And that's the way that we use it in bodybuilding. But of course, we use it at a much higher dose in bodybuilding than they use it in the medical community. Go ahead, Mops. I know you want
to. Let me touch on one thing, and this is as much DECA as it is MPP, because you mentioned collagen synthesis and the article that we associate with MPP for the purposes of this podcast mentions collagen synthesis. In simple terms, both DECA and MPP are, by reputation, I will say, and in the lab, as an increase or uptake in collagen synthesis, basically meaning the idea is that it somehow, either one, helps your joints. The reality of that situation, as Steve and I have pointed out many, many times on the forum, is thus. Even if it's true to any meaningful, useful way, which is arguable, because it's one thing to show something in the lab, it's something else to show outside in the real world, the reality of the situation is you are still pounding away, doing this stupid fucked up shit, and I'm as guilty as the next person. Steve and I have had tweaks and injuries and pains and strains, and we've carried on doing this thing that we want to do that's still fucking our joints up, hurting our shoulder, hurting our elbow, whatever. And you're now taking something that masks that pain, so you actually feel good, which I touched upon just now, agreeing with Steve on another point, to do the same shit you were doing before, but pain-free. And then lo and behold, you finish a cycle, you come off cycle, and your joints are now in worse shape than they were before because you carried on doing the thing. I mean, Steve and I have actually said this on my it's like the classic example. It's almost a comedic joke, Steve. When you go to the doctor and you say, it hurts when I do this, and you're waving your arm around, and the doctor says, well, don't do that then. We're going to do tricep stuff. We're going to do bicep. We're going to do pressing. We're going to bench press. We're going to squat. We do all the things that put good amounts of muscle on our body. And then we do it to a high degree of volume with a high degree of load. And then we moan and bitch when it hurts. And then we take Deca or MPP and the pain goes away. Bad enough that we're on anti-inflammatories and whatever else. So we think we do heavier amounts of weight and more volume. And we still feel good because we're on Deca or MPP. We come off cycle and we're fucked. So the reality of the situation is that you need to look at rehab. You need to stop doing that thing all the time. You need to cycle it in and out of your training, use alternative exercises and so on. So in the lab is fine. And it's been shown to increase collagen synthesis. In the real world, yes, when you're on cycle, but really you're still hurting yourself. So it's definitely, I think, like Steve said, when he talks about the boomers, definitely cleaner in that particular regards. MPP, of course, requires more pinning. And the old school, the boomer thing is, I want to feel good. I want to feel strong. I want to be able to do crazy fucked up shit in the gym. And Deca definitely allows you to do that. And MPP is in that same sort of area because it's very, very similar, as we know. It's more or less identical apart from the ester issue. I mean, the only thing is, again, I wouldn't want to pin so frequently. And that's just me, Steve. So definitely, I'm a great example of that. Why do I want to pin every day or any other day when I can only pin twice a week? That suits me down to the ground. Again, I'm not a person that's doing multiple cycles per year, nor do I compete as a bodybuilder. So, you know, the most cycles I would do in a year is two. And again, the Deca would be okay in that example if I leave plenty of time between stacks of cycles. If I was competing just as frequently as I have in the past, I can definitely see that I would probably look to maybe switch over to MPP. There's some argument, and I don't think it's anything meaningful, Steve, when people talk about post-injection pain. There's a reference here in the article that says it might be more painful to inject, but not to any great level. Propionate, for example, as per the articles, a lot more painful. It would, so even though it's a shorter ester, it is not sufficiently short that it's causing any meaningful discomfort in post-injection pain. Is just slightly more uncomfortable than injecting Deca. So there's an argument to be made for that as well. And again, needs must. If you're listening to this podcast, you're doing your research, it's what do I need to do? Why do I need to do it? Is there more competitions coming up this year that I wasn't going to do that I'm now going to do? For example, Stephen, I'm thinking just of a qualifying competition for a bodybuilder. You was expecting to win. You didn't win. There's another competition in a few weeks. You're going to need to extend your cycle. Definitely looking at Galook or something that's got short resters in it because you need to qualify for the big competition in 3 or 4 months. That happens. Happens in strength sports. It happens in bodybuilding. So, again, needs must. And, again, what's the other one, Steve, that we've talked about with modelling contracts and that kind of stuff? And you're going to get $1,000 or $2,000 for a day's work and you need to be in shape. And then lo and behold, you do one job. And because they've seen you in that thing, you get the next thing, which is just a few weeks away. So you still need to be in shape. So again, the flexibility is super, super important in those examples for those people because they're going to make a living or they're going to qualify for the big competition. They're going to get their pro card. They're going to get the title. And that's when flexibility like this is fantastic. And of course, there is always going to be a small percentage, and we see this again on the forums, that like to try the different ester versions of certain steroids that they've already used just to see how they respond. And it will be a percentage, 5 or 10% of our listeners, that respond differently to different esters than the majority of us. In the majority of cases, the information we give you applies to 90% of you.
So let me...
go on.
Yeah, let me jump in, with the, because I know you want to talk about this a little more too. You brought up the collagen issue. So let me kind of explain, my thinking when it comes to using nandrolone, to help with the joints and stuff. I could say with me going on it, I could definitely tell pretty quickly, it did help. But the more I stayed on, the less of effect it had. So, and we've seen people on the forums. I know one guy recently, this is a guy, he's an older guy, mobster. I think he's close to your age. He's really pounded. He's been lifting heavy for a long time. And he recently ran nandrolone. And he said, wow, this stuff really helps my joints, yada, yada, yada. But then he didn't really say much after that. So you got to keep in mind, it's a temporary thing. And then what ends up happening a lot of times is you'll run it and then you'll, and I know you want to talk a little bit more about this, Mobster, But the thing is, like, it's one of those things where you kind of mask when you're on it, and then over time, you're actually making more damage because you're still lifting heavy, even though you're not really feeling that effect. So yeah. it kind of ends up backfiring you a little bit over time. And I could tell you, like, for me, you know, my neck issues, my back issues, whatever, using DECA did absolutely nothing. But it can help with certain things. A lot of people have said, oh, it helps with my shoulders, it helps with, you know, my joints, it helps with this or that. So it's a temporary thing. It's not something that's going to cure it, because you're going to eventually come off, and you could end up really being in worse shape when you come off, because you're pounding away while you're on because it felt better. And then when you stop taking it, boom, you had it. So you don't want to get into that domino effect, especially as you get older.
Yes.
And end up with having chronic joint problems because you kept pounding away. So really, when it comes to this, my position is don't use MPP if you're looking to help, you know, help with joints. You really need to take another look at your training and change up your training.
Yes.
Do some yoga, increase your good fats, get some more lubrication, because yoga and stretching and mobility work will lubricate your joints, but pounding away in the weight room will actually dry out your joints and make them more immobile, and it's a domino effect. So you really have to balance.
Let me touch upon one bit,
touch on
one
top bit
of advice. Yeah. Yeah. And then we'll talk about cycling and dosing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. So let me give you two simple examples of how, look, strength athletes, pro bodybuilders, etc., pro athletes, full stop, Steve, as you and I both know, work as much on recovery as they do on the training. And that's so that they can have a longer career, stay at a high level, and so on and so forth. One of the examples I've used is I will alternate certain exercises in my own training cycles, or I'll ease off the bigger numbers and drop down to lower numbers and then ease back up slowly to the bigger numbers again, because you can't keep hitting the big numbers all the time. And I alternate certain exercises because some of the exercises are incredibly stressful on my joints. And if I did it week in, week out, I'd fuck myself up. And one more analogy, one more example of how you can get around that. Don't get fixated, especially when you're getting towards the big numbers, on training on a 7-day week training cycle, whether that's a bodybuilder or strength athlete again. Why not do it as a 9-day or 11-day cycle, so that you're only hitting, say, an exercise every 4 or 5 days instead of twice a week, just to stretch out the length of time in between so that you're fully recovered, and so on and so forth. People do the 7-day week thing, and the only break, the 7-day week thing, come out of the fucking Bible, Steve. It doesn't need to be done that way. Your body recovers when it recovers. So think about training certain lifts less frequently and make the training cycle 10, 11, 12 days if that's what's needed. But think about recovery, ice baths, massages, and so on and so forth. The top-end athletes, especially when you get to a high level yourself in the gym, it should be as much about recovery as it is about the training. Let's talk about cycling and dosage, Steve. I mean, I've used Sustanon, aka testosterone blend, and DECA, and I would dose it exactly the same as that, Steve, honestly, except obviously the amount of times I'm going to inject over that particular week. So the total for the week would be, for me, you're looking, if I was using it with a test blend or Sustanon, I'd be looking at probably 350 to 400 milligrams of each. That's my preferred area. I've talked about it on multiple shows. It's done me absolutely fantastic in the past. And the only difference here is I can see me injecting an MPP twice a week rather than every 4 or 5 days, just a little bit more frequently. So it might be every second day, might be every third day, which might mean some weeks I'm injecting it 3 times versus me doing Sustan DECA, the traditional version, on a Monday and say on a Thursday, so that I can see that. What about you for dosage, Stephen? Would you put anything else in there that you might use with MPP differently?
So, you know, where I would start, obviously, we talked about more injecting. So 3 times a week is fine. I think people really, they don't understand how esters work. And I would even make the argument that twice a week would be ample on MPP. I mean, my gosh, I mean, it's not going to... It's fine. Even twice a week is fine. So
sorry, Steve, just to interrupt for a second. We did a show recently, listeners, where we talked about DECA, and we talked about the half-life. And as the member Steve said, and the reality of the situation was that for TRT purposes, you was looking at once a fortnight. And it's only because of the performance enhancement side and the gym side that we kind of got down to a more frequent once or twice a week injection with Deca. So as Steve says, with MPP, actually, in terms of ester half-life, etc., once or twice a week makes more sense. But again, it's the difference between ester half-life, etc., and sports performance, sports enhancement, and the way that we try to get our bodies to respond in the gym. Steve, sorry.
Yeah, and look, at the bottom line is that two or three times a week is fine. I mean, you can argue with me all you want, but the science is the science, all right? So that's fine. I always make a rule when it comes to half-life. Whenever you see like a half-life, that's a pretty close indicator of how often you should inject. So if you see something that has a five-day half-life, then really injecting every 5 days is fine. Remember, each time you inject, you're getting more in your system until it reaches a peak, and just as much as leaving your system is coming in. So you inject on a proper schedule. So there's just no reason to pin NPP every day or even every other day. But if you want to do that, that's fine. It's not going to make a difference, but I'm just saying it's unnecessary. The second thing is with NPP, treat it like DECA. So if you have run DECA before and you ran it 400 milligrams a week and you like that dose, then run NPP 400 milligrams a week. Just split it up into twice a week or three times a week injections. That's fine. So any dose is really from 300 to 400 milligrams is a solid PED dose. Some guys like to go higher. If you're into powerlifting and bulking and that sort of thing, the idea behind DECA, again, is a watered-down version of testosterone. That's the whole idea. So you can jack up the dose higher if you want to go higher. That is one of the advantages of using something like MPP. And you can always be flexible. You're 5 weeks into it. You know what? This is a little higher of a dose. My appetite's getting really, really stupidly annoying. I don't think it's necessary for me to run this much. You can drop the dose from there. That's fine. You can adjust it. So there's always ways to adjust it. Now, when it comes to stacking testosterone, the big elephant in the room, a lot of people say, oh, you got to run more testosterone than nandrolone. You got to run the same amount, or you got to run this ratio. Look, at the end of the day, again, I go back to the point I've been making on this podcast. And this is an updated 2024 update, right, on using these compounds. Let me reiterate myself. The whole fucking reason for using a nandrolone in the first place is so you can avoid the estrogenic and androgenic effects of testosterone. So why the fuck would you run more testosterone with nandrolone? It doesn't make any sense. If you want to go down that route, then just run testosterone. Run more testosterone.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no need. There's no need to do that. So keep your testosterone low when you're running nandrolone. Let the nandrolone run the cycle. That's the whole idea.
Here's the thing, Steve. I just want to interrupt for a second here. And this is super important when we're doing these updated podcasts, right? So what's fascinating, and even for us, if we go back of some of the very early podcasts that we've done or was done on evolutionary, we look back and, I mean, just one article that we're referring to in a show that we just done had the wrong dosage quoted at the time for something that should have been at a much lower amount. So, for example, we don't parrot the same information that everybody's been putting out for years. When, as Steve said, look at the half-life, when you look at esters, look at the reason why the product was created, doesn't need to be done there. I did ask you, Steve, what would you stack with this? What would be your choice for stacking?
Yeah, so let's get into stacking. So the way I would do a cycle, and Mobster, definitely chime in too, what worked for you, but when it came to bulking and getting stronger and using the nandrolone to its benefits, right, I would say do 300 to 400 milligrams of the MPP, stack in about 100 to 125 milligrams of any of a testosterone. Preferably, you could get testosterone phenylpropionate if you want the same ester, or you can get test sip or test E. That's fine. And then I would stack in some Proviron, 25 to 50 milligrams of Proviron. And that would be a really good mild stack to build good quality, slow muscle. And that would be good quality, keepable gains. That would be an option for you. Now, if you wanted to go a little more aggressive and run something that was more like a good yin and yang effect, a lot of people, and this is for someone who's advanced, they'd run MPP, same dosage, 300, 400 milligrams, and then throw in 200 to 250 milligrams of Trenace with it. And you can mix them in the same syringe and go ahead and pin them two or three times a week. That's fine. Acetate, has a little shorter half-life than phenylpropionate, but look, it's fine. Three times a week is fine. Again, you don't have to do it every day or every other day. It's not going to kill you to go three times a week with Tren-Ace. But that's a really good yin and yang stack. And I would also throw in a DHT in there, always with a nandrolone. My rule with nandrolone, number one rule, is always use a DHT. Why? Because it balances DHT and DHN. Dihydrotestosterone, dihydronandrolone. It balances those in the body, and it gives the perfect synergy in the body. So that would be my number one effect. So any DHT, Masteron, Winstrol, Anavar, T-Bol, these are good DHTs, but Proviron is the best DHT because it's not liver toxic, and it does a really, really good job in the body. It doesn't have too many side effects that you would add to the cycle. So those would be some good options. At the end of the day, too, if you wanted to really, really go ape shit and bulk mobster, you could do 300 to 400 MPP, 200 to 300 test, and then you could add in some D-Bol, 20, 30 milligrams a day of D-Bol. That would be a sick cycle if you really were just like a skinny guy and you were sick of being skinny. Yes. You just wanted to get big. But make sure you run an AI. Anytime you're adding a lot of testosterone or D-Bol, you want to make sure you're adding in an AI to balance. So Aromacin is definitely a must in a cycle like that, or you'll end up with gynecomastia or other water retention issues. So really, there's a lot of good ways. I think those are the best ways to really use nandrolone. I wouldn't use it in a cutting stack at all. It's not a cutter in my mind. Use it, and I wouldn't use it for recomp. I would use it solely for powerlifting and for bulking. What are your final thoughts on stacking?
Yeah, I mean, Steve just touched upon something a sentence or two ago when he talked about the appetite stimulant. And we've mentioned this when we've referred to DECA. Both of us have had the experience where our appetite went through the roof. And it occurs to me, Steve, as per a show that we did recently, if you are the kind of person that wants to get big and you want to bulk up, but you struggle with your appetite, DECA and NPP will stimulate the fuck out of your appetite. I mean, I don't struggle with it. Steve's fine. He's great at fasting too. But we've never had really great sort of issues as such. We've eaten a little bit more as and when required to get bigger. But with DECA, and I'm saying the same thing for NPP, the appetite went through the fucking roof. And I've used this storyline before, Steve, but I said I would be eating my third meal of the day. And I'm deliberately bulking. I want to get bigger. And I am thinking about the next bowl full of food, the next meal in a couple of hours, 3 hours, 4 hours time, whatever, while I'm eating a perfectly satisfying amount of food. In other words, I'm hungry for the next meal while I'm eating a meal. That's how crazy my appetite got. And I would go from 280 to 300 pounds on a Sustan DECA, so a testosterone blend, and a DECA cycle. MPP works the same. The only issue, and I'll do this as a final thought, is learn to rotate your sites. Anytime we talk about any steroid or PED that requires more frequent pinning, learn to rotate your sites. Because I don't want to be doing stacks, Steve, that requires two injections, one of this, one of that, and I certainly don't want to be putting it into the same body part or whatever else. So learn to move sites, learn to rotate sites, come onto the forums, check out the information we got about site rotation. There are plenty of videos on YouTube telling you how to inject certain particular muscles, so check those out as well, and make sure that you learn how to do that. If you choose this, have the flexibility, make sure it's the right choice for you. Come onto the forums and check us out as well. Come on and comments below on the podcast. Let us know if you've used MP, what was the experience, how did you run it, and so on and so forth. We're looking forward to hearing your comments. Please note, we are not doctors and your opinions are ours. It's our view based on our experience and views on the topic. A podcast of informational purposes and entertainment only. The freedom of speech and the First Amendment applies.